In the book of Revelation, chapter 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Now, we are on Sunday nights looking at prophecy and some prophecies about the coming of Jesus and those type of things. But in Revelation, chapter 2, is there are seven churches that John addressed in the book of Revelation. These are actual seven churches that were actually in existence in Asia and Asia Minor at the time of the first century. If you look at them on a map, they just kind of go in a circle as they follow through, as he touches on each one of these seven churches. The first church here in chapter 2 of verse 1 is Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. It's one of the churches that Paul was instrumental in starting and being a part of and getting going, and where he ordained elders and different things and got him sent out from there on his missionary journeys. He went by there a couple of different times. It is one of the churches that is no longer there right now. The town is still there, but this particular church isn't there. During this time of, somebody mentioned in their prayer, the new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year, January the 3rd, 2010. Man, you know, who thought we'd see 2010, you know? I remember when 2000 first came along, everybody thought the world was going to crash, you know, computers and everything. But I remember back in the 60s and 70s and I guess the 50s, when they had all those movies about White Sands and all that stuff and giant spiders and tarantulas and scorpions and all that stuff because of all the nuclear stuff they did out there. You know, all the movies they made and different things like that, and the future years and space travel and all of those things and stuff. You know, some of us have come from 33 and a thirds and some of those old thick records, to the 45s, to the 8-tracks, to cassettes, reel-to-reel. And then from 8-tracks to cassettes, to CDs, to little CDs, iPods and phones, and it's just computers, I mean calculators, you know. Just think, calculators have come along so long. First, calculators will cost as much as a computer today. And all the things that have happened, I mean, from flight to Mars, to Venus, to being on the moon, and all these things that have happened, and communication across the world. And there's hardly, you know, anywhere in the world you can communicate within 1 or 2 seconds through satellites and things. The things that have happened in this world. Amazing, all the advances and all the things that have happened. And as I was looking back and I started thinking about this new year, I started looking at the word remember and remembrance and remembering in the Bible. Over 260 some odd times in verses that word is used in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible. Now, most of the references to remember are referring to, a lot of them are in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Exodus, and a lot of those things. Referring to the Passover. The Passover feast was for them to remember the bondage in Egypt. Excuse me. The 10 plagues and all those things that brought them out of Egypt. And the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and all those things. There's several references in the Bible to remember those things, to remember that. Remember what this has done. Remember the Sabbath and set it aside. Many references about remembrance in there about that. Then the other place we find many references to remembrance in the Bible is God says, remember this promise. Remember what I've done in the past. I will do it again. Remember how I've helped you through this. Remember how I helped you in that battle. Remember, I promised you this. I'm going to keep my word. Several references about that to remember in the Bible. The other thing is God admonishing us to remember. Remember where we come from. Remember where we're going. And remember what God's doing in our life. Well, let's look here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So that's over from chapter 1. That is referring to Jesus Christ. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, for else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what we have here in your precious word. And God, help us to remember. Help us to return. Help us start this new year and continue to serve you with our utmost. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you notice the word remember in here. The church at Ephesus is really a pretty good church. They've got only really one problem, but it's a major one. But they really only have one problem. And he admonishes them at the beginning and at the ending for the good things they've done. Kind of the old sandwich effect, you know. God started that, you know. Good and good and good, and put the bad stuff in the middle. Well, that's not how sandwiches are done, but they call it the sandwich effect. Now, this church at Ephesus has really been a good church, a strong church, and they stood for God. Look at how he admonishes them, how he praises them. In verse 2, he says, I know thy works. He says, I know what's going on. Now, that could apply to any of us in any of our lives. And thy labor. Well, what's the difference between works and labor? I thought labor was work. I thought work was labor. Labor is toil. And works, the accomplishing. What you've done, what you've finished, what you've been able to do. I know how you haven't given up. I know how you've tried. I know how you have labored. Worked up a sweat, for lack of a better term. Well, I was told once upon a time, horses sweat and people perspire, but it's all the same thing, you know. But anyway, thy labor and thy patience. Now, that's a good one to have, labor and patience together. Because most of the time we don't have patience. We want to get it done. We want to work right now. We don't want to take time. But we have to learn to work in God's timetable. But let's move on here. How thou cannot bear them which are evil. The evil sins, the evil doctrines, and has tried them which say they're apostles. Now, there's still some people out there today saying they are apostles. Back in those days, there were people that were saying they were apostles. There was only 12 apostles. There's only 12 of them mentioned in the book of Revelation. God only called 12 apostles. There, to be an apostle, you have to be personally called by Jesus Christ. You have to be a personal witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be an apostle. And you have to have the gift of healing to be an apostle. And no poisonous snakes or no poison that they drink would affect an apostle. That was the criteria of an apostle. And there was only 12. You look over later in the book of Revelation, there's only 12 mentioned there. But anyway, they said they're apostles, and you tried them, and you've tested them, and you found out that they're not. They're liars, it says here. Now look here at verse 3, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake. Stuck to the gospel, stuck to the word of God, have not compromised, have stood true with the word of God, have went off into some tangent somewhere, have been faithful to God. And many of you here today are faithful to God, staying close to God, and in God's house. Haven't quit. Hast not fainted, given up. Now, verse 4, the nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you left your first love. Now, in verse 5, it tells us a little more about this. And do the first works. Remember and repent and do the first works. Why the first works? The first works go along with the first love. First love. Not the first love of their life. But number one love in their life. When that number one love, what is primary love in your life? What is the main love of your life? What is the most important thing, person, item, whatever in your life? The most important of all of your life. Of anything in your life. Might say a wife or a husband. Our children, grandchildren, different things like that. But God says He's supposed to be our first love. If God is your first love, then you will love your spouse. You will love your children. You will love your grandchildren. I was talking to somebody just the other day and how their spouses went abusive, started getting physical with them, hurting them. Because Jesus isn't their first love. Prescription drugs became their first love. And you've seen that. Where alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it is can become the first love in someone's life. Because they will turn their back on anyone. They will lose their family. They will steal from their family. They will abuse their family and friends and loved ones. They'll lie, cheat, and steal anything for that first love. Was just talking this morning about the guy that tried to blow up the plane on Christmas Day. You know what his first love is? Allah. He loves Allah so much that he will die. He will commit suicide for Allah. Allah is his first love. He loves Allah more than he loves his own self. His own family. His own fellow human beings. Because he's in a religion. Believing a lie. But he is totally committed to Allah. That's his first love. How you can tell what your first love is, is what comes between you and that first love. He says your first love and then your first works. Because who you love or what you love is who you work for, who you serve, who you honor. Whether it's drugs or Jesus or sports or exercise, TV, video games, whatever. Occupies your time. If the house was burning down and all the family was out, what's the first thing you'd grab? Now, in verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." They've turned away from that first love. It was in their life. It was provident in their life. And they have turned their back on it to something else. Verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen." They have fallen away. Remember what you fell from. Remember what you left. Remember what you turned your back on. Love makes you happy. And your first love makes you very happy. When you have this love that makes you happy and you've fallen away from it, no matter what you're telling yourself, you're not happy. People say, "Well, that makes me feel good." When I worked in a shop full time, worked on transmissions, you know, we had metal benches and stuff. Well, the guys would come in on Monday morning and tell me what a good time they had and how much fun they had and how sick they were on Monday morning. And I like to drive, you know, those metal benches, you know, get the bushings, you big old 2-pound hammer, and you drive those bushings in those transmissions and stuff, you know. I like to do that on Monday mornings, you know? But I says, "You told me you had such a good time." "Oh, yeah, I did." "What happened?" He says, "I don't remember." You know? But listen, they are lying to themselves. And they are believing that lie because they are loving whatever it is they did, their first love. Because true love makes you happy. Now they labored and they fainted not and they worked. They got tired. Serving God gets you tired sometimes. Saving God is labor. Serving God is work. But it's a work of love. Not so that you will be loved, but because you do love Jesus. Your first love. Now he tells them, go back. Listen here. Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Remember what it used to be like. Remember how joyful you used to be. Remember how excited you used to be. Well, repent. God hasn't moved. Remember the story about the man and the wife been married for several years and they're driving down the road? You know? And she's sitting over there and he's sitting over here. And she says, you know, honey, you used to sit right next to me with your arm around me. And he's going, he says, well, I haven't moved. He's driving out of the wheel, you know. But then the other side of the story is, he probably opened the other door for her too. He didn't open that door for her, you know. It goes both ways. But listen, God didn't move. God is immutable. God is unchanging. God is consistent. God is always there. So, any loss of love is us because, as it says, fallen. Fallen away. Been up to the crest. Look out over Albuquerque. If you take little ones up there, what do? Make sure they don't get next to the edge, huh? Because then it can fall off. If you're walking along the edge, you have the danger of falling. Don't get on the edge. Stay close to Jesus. Don't ride the fence. Stay close to Jesus and you won't fall. Stay in the light. Don't walk in the darkness. Stay close to the light of the world. Stay close to the luz del mundo. Stay close to God because He is the light. And you won't fall. Do the first works. Get back to your first love and then you'll go back to the first works. Remember. Fascinating word in the Bible. There's another way that the word remember is used in the Bible, referring to God, who says He will not remember our sins anymore. Once we confess our sins to Him, He will not remember our sins anymore. As far as the deepest ocean, as far as the east from the west, tossed behind the back, will never remember our sins once we have confessed them and move on. One of the conditions to remembering is to have something to remember. Now, I can't remember my 59th birthday. It hasn't happened yet. It's close, but it hasn't happened yet. But I can't remember it because it hasn't happened. But I can remember my 13th birthday or something, I think. Because it has happened. But if there's no happenings, then you have nothing to remember. Who is your first love? Myself. That's primary on most of our list. But when it says God is a jealous God, that means He wants to be your first love. Your spouse should never have to worry about you going after someone else. Should never be a thought or never be a worry. Because they know that you love them. Never be a thought. Never be a worry. Jesus wants to have that same commitment to you. The word that's used in the Bible when the nation of Israel and others went off after other gods, He calls it a whoring after gods. That's the word God uses in the Bible. That's a pretty strong word. Unfaithfulness. Terrible thing. Terrible thing. Now, remember, verse 5, therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Do. First love will cause action. Repentance will bring action. Do. Or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place. Talking about the church. Except thou repent. Now the word repent is used twice in here. Now listen, they've done a lot of good things. They've been faithful. They've labored. They've been working. They've had patience. They've been a great church. But the past good will not cover the present sin. You've done all these great things, and I'm proud of it, and you've done a good job, but you've left your first love. You've got to repent. You've got to come back. You've got to do the first works. Otherwise, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Well, I've served God all these years, you know. I deserve my whatever. All the past is great, and God knows it, and God remembers it, and God has it recorded, but that doesn't cover the present sin. It's where you are right now. On January the 3rd in 2010, where are you right now with Jesus and your first love? That's what's important. Right now is where you are right now. In verse 6, he says, thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Not the Nicolaitans, but their deeds. This is an excess of liberty in worship, is what basically what it is, what they did. They completely, pretty much, anything goes. Nicolaitans. Anything goes, do whatever you want to do. It's all right, you know, it feels good, do it. Not Nicolaitan, that's one of them things you pull behind the horse, huh? It makes music, huh? Nicolaitans. And we have seen that today. Secular humanism is sometimes it's called. If it feels good, do it. Whatever goes, everything's all liberal. He says, I hate that too. No rules, no standards, no guidelines. He hates that too. God has standards. God has guidelines. God has a path for us to walk. It's not chaos. There's a plan for everything. Has there been a time in your life that you were closer to Jesus than today? If there's been a time in your life that you were closer to Jesus than you are now, then we need to repent and return back to our first love. Number two, if you are not growing in the Lord, if your life has hit a plateau, or in a rut and not growing, then you need to repent and get back to your first love. Definition for a rut is a grave with both ends punched out. Miss Patsy this morning had mentioned she's been a Christian for a few years. She says, I still am learning. Still learning. We're always learning. But let's learn from our first love and not other things out there. You know, we've all had mistakes. We've all did things wrong, and we've upset or disappointed our spouse or whatever. I go back and say, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I'm not going to do it again. That's our intentions. So is it with Jesus. We got to say, hey, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've fallen away. I'm sorry. I'm not as close to you as I used to be. I love you dearly. I want you to be first love in my life. Make that commitment to Jesus. And then it says, do the first works. Do. Action. Talking to my dad one time, when I was getting all involved in church, because we was raised in church and then we drifted away, and I was talking to my dad. And I says, well, why not now? He says, well, he says, it used to be, if the doors were open and I wasn't there, I felt bad. I don't want that commitment anymore. That's what my dad said. He didn't want to get that involved. Drifted away from his first love. Had other things in his life. I believe that's why he's no longer here. It's part of it. Only because it's my own parents and I know their life and I know where they stood. They weren't doing anything for God anymore. Didn't need them. Actually, they were doing more harm than good. Paul said, at least I've become a castaway. I'm not talking about losing his salvation. I'm talking about not being used anymore. We all want to feel needed. We all want to feel wanted. And we're all needed and you're all wanted in the ministry of the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. God's still working. The grace of God is still working in our lives. As He's trying to work with us. Trying to mold us. Trying to form us, trying to fashion us, trying to train us. If you've had more than one child, you know they all learn different. Well, we're the same way. But as a parent, you know how to motivate that child. So does God. Sometimes it's applying the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Sometimes it's just a talking to. Sometimes it's incentives or the loss of incentives. All different kinds of things. God knows us and what will motivate us. And God wants you to be back where He is your first love. First above everything. It's not saying you don't love your spouse or you don't love your children or your grandchildren. No. If you love Jesus first and He's your first love, your love will increase and grow for the others in your life. If He's first. No matter what happens in this world, in this life, in this economy, in this nation, in this country, no matter what happens, Jesus is always going to be my first love. No matter what happens. I'm going to make a commitment to God, and I'm going to vow to God that I'm going to do everything I can to please my first love. Whatever it is. But that is a heavy-duty commitment. But the marriage vows, they say, till death do us part. Well, with God, death is just getting to heaven. It is an eternal commitment. And there's no discharge from this war, as God says. No retirement. Change of duties, but no retirement. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation and see how God would use and work among us. Now listen, it says, remember your first love. Now, like I said, you've got to have something to remember. Has there been a time in your life that Jesus was your first love? Has there been a time in your life that you know that you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you know that your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that? Is it real to you? Do you know that Jesus is real? Well, let's start with the first love so you got something to remember. And those of us that is not our first love, let us repent and do the works, our first works. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, God, that you'll take these words, that you'll take this challenge to the church of Ephesus and apply it to our each and everyone's individual lives. Thank you, Jesus.